Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. It's Sunday, and this is the Sunday Show with Wayne Johnson, and our guest author today is our awesome co-host, Ronald Feynman, Professor Ronald Feynman, the progressive professor. And I know that Jack's out there listening as he's recovering these days, and I wish him, and we all wish him, Godspeed in getting well soon, and he'll be back with us hopefully for the holiday season.
Absolutely.
It has been a week, gentlemen. It has been a week. I always have to laugh when Trems comes. The Rachel Maddow show comes on, and she says, "Well, we're gonna have to throw this show over, and the news is breaking 20 seconds here." On Saturday, after that incredible testimony on Friday, Ambassador
Yakovlevich,
the Ukrainian ambassador who came in
right.
And sat in front of Congress, and she was incredibly sympathetic, incredible how she was, well, her credibility couldn't be touched. And
Trump,
it was.
Of course, Trump bullies her, yeah.
And real time, as she's testifying, the stupid son of a bitch actually tries an intimidation tactic. Now, I don't care what you say, that he picks on people, yada, yada. That's intimidation. And it is another reason for impeachment right there in front of everybody. Another count.
Yeah, do you notice that he's afraid of any powerful or smart woman? He always goes after women more than anybody else, including Nancy
Pelosi.
He's
really just a big coward, right?
Yeah.
He's really just a big coward. And any time that you try to intimidate a witness, that is a federal offense. That is a felony. This man has committed felonies right there in front of us. They have to, that alone, forget everything else. You know, oh, that was, you know, no quid pro quo. That alone right there would be enough to impeach him.
Yes,
and
he's
handing us his own evidence to impeach him. He is unfit for that office.
Well, he's always been on it. Well, what killed me, though, that was in the background now, we have the Democratic primary running out there. And there's not enough centrist. There's not enough middle-of-the-road guys out there that Deval Patrick's going to jump in and Bloomberg's going to jump in. And, boy, are they running scared from the progressive end. They are really.
Well, neither one of them is going anywhere. I think the one to watch now is Mayor Pete. He's soaring in Iowa. He's way ahead of everybody right now in the polls in Iowa.
He's having his moment in the polls. I agree with you. I think that Mayor Pete is a fine fellow. He'll go far in politics, but he's a middle-of-the-road, status quo kind of guy. He's a centrist. And right now is like the moment that FDR started building the New Deal. We need structural change right away, or our children's children are dead. That period. That's it.
Well,
I just want to point out Barack Obama actually spoke up that he thought the Democrats should not go too far over because they would lose the middle. And I think there's
a
point to think with that.
Great compromiser. Well, he went in and compromised on his own on his own plan so that he wouldn't shake the limb too much. First of all, he was the first African American president. He was a good president. I don't see he wasn't a bad president. And he'll probably historically be looked on with great favor.
He should.
Well, in fact, he's in the top 10 in the American Political Science Association poll. He's rated number 8, and in the C-SPAN poll of historians, he's rated number 12, Barack Obama. So already he's in the top 4th or 3rd of all presidents.
So there he is. He compromised on many of his goals. He tried his best to walk across the aisles, and the Republicans walked all over him like dogs. And
even stole his Supreme Court nomination.
You can't put somebody like Pete Buttigieg in there who's going to do the same damn thing because he's afraid of being called a gay boy. You can't put somebody in there who's going to sit back and walk. And hell no to Biden. Hell no. Okay, my soapbox is over the side again, gentlemen.
No,
I was
going to
say on Pete, I don't see him worrying about being called a gay boy. He's proud of what he is, and he's already challenged Mike Pence on that. Spoken up about being gay and saying, you have to deal with your own maker.
No,
talk about his religiosity. He's going to cave in to anybody.
You know as well as I do, and it happened to Barack Obama, when you walk through the doors at 1600 Penn Avenue, when you walk through those doors, you are no longer the candidate. You are the president of the United States who has to answer to everybody saying this, that, and the other is going to happen if you make this choice, that choice, or this choice. And the majority of people who walk into that office in the last 45 to 50 years have listened to that, well, except for the guy that's there now. And what we need right now walking in that office is somebody who, like, maybe we need somebody sitting in a chair wheeling in like the last good guy that went in there and made a change for the better. And then the fellow who followed him that crossed the T's and dotted the I's on everything that his president did before him. I mean,
The only thing I want to point out is that to do the kind of thing that Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders wants requires a very, very strong Democratic Congress. And I don't think they're going to have more, even if they win control of both, more than 51 or 52%. If they had 58% like Lyndon Johnson had in the 60s or FDR in the 30s, then you could do anything. But the party system is such that Democrats will be fortunate they could just win a majority again.
After everything that has come down in this last year, especially in this last 6 months, if you think the majority of black women are going to go into the voting booth and think, oh, Joe Biden's going to do it for me, or if you think that they think a centrist is going to walk into the White House and compromise and say we have to work for this, that, and the other, like they have for the last 25 years, and watch them pull a Clinton or get compromised like an Obama, I think you're mistaken. Like, I think when Scott went down and took 30,000 to 50,000 votes out of Broward County and stole the election here, we would have had Andrew Gillum, who, by the way, is Betsy's choice for vice president, by the way.
Whose choice?
In the campaign, we call her Aunt Betsy. Elizabeth Warren.
I think Gillum would be fine as a running mate. Yeah, I do agree.
Because America is not a bunch of old farts voting this trip. It's the truth, Ron. It's the truth.
I'm not an old fart.
No, I'm not calling you an old fart. I'm saying.
Well, technically, I am. I'm going to have my birthday next month.
No, you are what we call a sage elder. You are not an old fart.
Well, thank you.
What is going on right now is you've got 12 million new registered voters who are all just coming into the voting booth for the first time, and they're
they
mad
all vote.
As hell. And
if
you
they all vote, that's the issue,
though. With everything that is happening in this moment, Ron, do you actually think people are going to sit it out?
Well, I hope not. One thing I'll say, whoever's elected, even if it's the so-called moderate, if the Democrats suddenly won massive majorities, then that person would become much more to the left, even with a Pete or a Joe, if he had the people behind him in the Congress.
Right.
But again, I don't think there's going to be that large a majority in Congress. And that's the key. They can get a large majority, then they could go way beyond what they pledged. Like FDR did not talk about doing everything he did in 1932. He did it because he got a big majority. So he went further to the left. And the same with LBJ and after 64.
You're absolutely right. Let's talk Virginia. Boom.
Okay.
Let's talk Louisiana holding on to a Democratic.
Louisiana.
Kentucky also. Yeah.
Kentucky by a skinny thread. However, the gal who's running against Mitch McConnell, she's got a chance of beating the crap out of him. She really does. She's got the money. And people are angry at Mitch. They call him Moscow Mitch on the streets of Louisville.
Well, that speaks volumes right there when your hometown is giving you derogatory names like that, and that becomes the standard of identifying you in the states you're supposed to be representing. I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, it's what's got to happen is like what we saw with the governor's race. All the people who are registered have to get out there.
Got to be a big turnout. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Dickerson, I'm so glad he lost. He was a monstrous governor of Kentucky. I'm so glad that he lost.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump came there and made fun of him, so like saying about he's a terrible candidate, but you got to vote for him. I mean, even with his own candidate, he was trashing him. I'm telling you, our president's off the wall. He's nuts.
I wanted to ask you, Ron, right out the roll. I wanted to ask you, how do you think the impeachment hearings are going for the Democrats?
I think they're going very well. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to lead to 20 Republican senators voting to convict, but I do think the case is becoming stronger and that Trump is going to look worse and worse all the time, and I think it will weaken him for any chance of being elected. But as far as being removed by the Senate, I think there'll be 5 or 6 Republicans who will join the Democrats, but it will only be a majority, I think. But even a majority will be quite a smack in the face if a majority of the Senate votes to remove him.
Right. What happens if those Republican senators go home for Thanksgiving and get the, you know, lettuce and tomato thrown at them? In other words,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Professor. Yeah. This is your Bailey. Go ahead.
I think that it will make a difference when they go home. I also think Mitch McConnell actually should not be allowed to conduct the impeachment trial because his own wife is in the Trump cabinet. It's a real conflict of interest. And I think he should have to step aside and have no impact on other than a vote on that because I think that's real corruption on his part.
Well, I'll give you a little quote here. I'm going to paraphrase here because that's the best I can remember. Frederick Douglass said, "Power has never willingly given up its power, and you have to actually take it from it." I'm going to see if I can remember. Go ahead. I'm going to look up that quote here so I can do it correctly. Go ahead.
Did you hear that there's a Pence aide going in to testify?
Yes, I did. Pence could be in trouble, possibly. There is a slight chance we could have Nancy Pelosi for part of a year, but I think it's really – I wouldn't put betting money on it, but they could both be in trouble, yes.
Yes, okay. Here's that quote. I wanted to make sure I got it right. "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and never will. The life of a nation is secure only while the nation is honest, truthful, and virtuous." That was Frederick Douglass.
By the way, do you realize that Donald Trump thinks Frederick Douglass is still alive?
Yeah.
He didn't know who he was. He thought he was one of these black guys that's around now.
Yeah. That's a stupidity on steroids. I mean, and if, you know, here's
because he was talking about it once, and he said is. He didn't say was. So we knew that he didn't realize Frederick Douglass is dead.
Yeah, right. He met him in current. Current tense, not past tense.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting that Jennifer Williams, who's the advisor to Pence, well, she was attacked by Trump as a never Trump. I don't know how she could have been and been an advisor to Pence. But anyways, in her closed door deposition, she said that the call shed some light on possible other motivations for freezing nearly $400 million in military aid to the Ukraine. She also said she viewed Trump's requests for investigations as politically motivated. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm really interested what you think, Ron. I mean, yeah, he'd like to see all of this stuff going on to please Putin as far as Ukraine goes, and he would like to have something thrown, some mud thrown on the Biden family and all of that. But what I'm really wondering is, does anybody get it that those three amigos with Rick Perry, Rudy Giuliani, and the guy from Russia were there not to so much get this investigation going into the Bidens, but to reinstate a corrupt official who is, by the way, also wholly connected to, or was before he was ejected, wholly connected to all of the petroleum and resources that are coming out of the Ukraine. I think at the bottom of this, follow the money. I think Trump, the rest of them, they're all in it for the money, first of all. And the rest of it is just a part of it, because the only thing that guy has done in office is make money. That's all he's done.
That's it. That's what he's just milking the cow off the taxpayers' debt. You know, it's a professor, you know, because we're dealing with oil, the strength and the lobbying that the oil company has, I'm seeing like a repeat, you can almost say like a repeat of the Teapot Dome scandal.
100 years ago, yes, under Warren G. Harding. Yep, you're
exactly.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to mention. I wrote an entry this week saying the most lasting and destructive impact of Donald Trump is 157 federal judicial confirmations for a life term, including one person this week, Steve Benashi, who has no qualifications at all but was confirmed by the Senate. And so we have these people who have a right-wing agenda, favoring corporations, the wealthy, and religious extremists, and working against women, racial and ethnic minorities, the disabled, the poor, and gays and lesbians, and promoting more presidential powers. And it's not just the two Supreme Court nominees who got in, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, but also all these district and also circuit court candidates who are there for life. So that is a long-range, devastating impact of Trump, even if he leaves tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's
absolutely
a thing called impeachment. It's happening to the president. I fully expect if Warren is elected, I think that she'll go towards getting whatever needs to be done to begin impeachment proceeding against Kavanaugh. Yeah,
history shows us that only Samuel Chase in 1805 was ever impeached and found not guilty. It's never happened to a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
it has happened to district court judges, but not to the Supreme Court, other than that one time when it failed.
But that's yesterday. That's not today. It's not the
history,
same circumstance.
Yes. Well,
it's not what's happening in the moment.
Hotel.
Not what's happening in the moment. And the moment here is wholly different than one this country has ever faced before. Can you tell me?
Yeah, but again, how are we going to get that many Republicans to vote to convict him? He might be impeached, Kavanaugh, but he's not going to be removed.
How do you know there are going to be that many Republicans left in office?
Well, there'll still be.
Really?
But right now they have 53. Let's say they lose 5 seats. They're still going to have 48 or 47. So
they're
going to have to at least 14 Republicans. It's not. I don't think the removal would ever come about. Impeachment is very hard to remove. You can impeach, but you can't remove.
Right. Doesn't it take 2/3 to
67 votes if everybody's voting, yes.
Right.
That's 20 Republicans.
I guarantee you.
And that's assuming every Democrat votes, you know, like Manchin in West Virginia might not vote to convict. So you might need 21 Republicans, you know.
Right. There you go. Well, the Republicans have been so bought and paid for by corporate funded dollars.
And the thing is, Republicans are now.
Compromised.
They go along with Russia. What would Joseph McCarthy, yes. Richard Nixon, and Ronald Reagan say the anti-Russian party is suddenly becoming pro-Putin because they back everything that Trump does, the Republicans now, giving up the whole idea of what the country is all about?
Yeah. Well, when you have the leader of the Senate, the leading party senator, the leading majority of the Republicans in the Senate, nickname is Moscow Mitch. That's because
he doesn't like that either.
He doesn't need to say anymore.
Yeah, but the party was always anti-Russian. Now they seem to just bow to everything Trump does, with a few exceptions like Mitt Romney speaks up, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's the old saying, money talks, bullshit walks, and they've got all, and that's with the money. They have been compromised by the money.
Well, I think it destroys their party's whole history, really.
Yeah.
Good people that were in the Republican Party in the past.
Well, look, basically what's going on here, too, is I don't think they can do that because history is history. But, what he's trying to screw with right now is the Whistleblower Act. And the Whistleblower Act was written by and introduced by Frank Horton, and he was a Republican from the state of New York.
Well, actually started back with a midshipman against the Secretary of the Navy back in 17-something. I did a little research on this, Glenn. It came back up again. But that's where the Whistleblower Act.
It started, but it was passed in the, I think, was it the 70s, late 70s, went into
I think effect. I think it was strengthened. Hold on.
It was invoked for especially government tattletales, as they say.
Yeah.
And by the way, every week there are like I think anywhere from 30 to 300 in the national and state whistleblowing going on. There are made whistleblowing happening 30 to a couple of hundred every week come in of whistleblowing.
Yes. Here we go, Glenn. In 1778, a midshipman, his last name was Shaw, S-H-A-W, was instrumental in the Continental Congress passage of the first whistleblower protection law in the United States. The Continental Congress then enacted a whistleblower protection law on July the 30th, 1778, by unanimous consent. There you go. Now, and of course, then I wanted to look home, and I went on to say that, when a whistleblower is within the intelligence agency, he has to be reviewed by someone above him for the sensitivity of what is being released. And that person here today said, yes, this needs to go before Congress. This person is correct. We have the evidence. Trump has committed treasonous acts against the country.
The act was reformed and re-ratified in the 70s.
Yes, that's correct. That is correct. Absolutely correct, Lynn.
I know.
But 1778 was when it first came around. So this isn't something them damn liberal Democrats did. No, this was something our founding fathers did.
Well, and it was re-ratified by Republicans and Democrats working together, but basically one Republican spearheaded that. And it happened because of stuff that was constantly coming up after the Vietnam War.
Right.
I can't remember the complete incidents, but the thing is, this president is saying that because he's president, it doesn't apply to him, and the whistleblower should be outed, and all of this. The shenanigans that's been going on Fox Network. For anybody to out a whistleblower at this level of government, this is my question to Ron, do you expect any Republican congressperson or senator to do such a thing?
Well, I think there'll be some senators who will be critical of Trump on that, but I think a lot of them just ignore everything. All they're thinking about is their seats. you know, and keeping their power. But I think Romney certainly has principles on that. I think Ben Sasse of Nebraska does. I even think maybe partly out of the need to do so for the election, Susan Collins seems to be becoming more critical, and also Lisa Murkowski. And then also people like Lamar Alexander, who's retiring from the Senate. People that are retiring, they can certainly be independent and do whatever the hell they want. So I think there will be some impeachment conviction votes, but not 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would shock you, wouldn't it? I think it shocked the country, but with the way things
anything is
are
possible
going.
After what Nixon did. And of course, now there's this story about Trump's health. Why did he have a sudden health, investigation and have it at Walter Reed Army Medical Center? You wonder if there's an issue there. Maybe he has a health issue, or maybe, as Wayne said before the show started, maybe he's going to use that as an excuse to resign. Maybe. It would be something.
What are you talking about? I completely missed that. I haven't seen the news on that. What are you talking about?
It's on CNN. They're talking about unusual the way it's being done. Part of it at the White House, part of it at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and it just seems sudden. It's not like they announced it far ahead. So you wonder if there's really an issue, or they're trying to create an issue, and maybe he will step down. Wouldn't that be something? And that brings up my article about Mike Pence could be president, and it would be after November 22nd. This week is going to be the, when LBJ took over, is the latest in the term of president left. But if anything happens to Trump after this Friday, after this coming Friday, it would be the shortest term for any president ever, not counting if he got elected, but just finishing the term of only a year and or less. So it is a possibility.
I was going to say, Glenn, let me try to maybe restate that for some others, maybe in the listening audience, haven't kept up with it. Trump made an unscheduled medical visit, almost emergency type, to Walter Reed Hospital.
Yeah. When?
For a checkup. They said it was a checkup or just they had to work something. That was
when?
This week. I mean, just like the day before yesterday.
I think it's actually now. Yesterday,
yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, now. Sorry. But anyway, then the conjecture is has this impeachment stress actually taken its toll on his heart, his health?
Well, he's been raging for 3 years, so not been good from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, a preliminary kind of a save-face act of saying, we checked him out, yes, he has some issues, and because of Trump's, I'm doing air quotes here, because of Trump's health scare here and stuff, he's going to resign and spend the time with his family. That's going to be the face-saving aspect of him inevitably not getting impeached.
Well, that's
or
true, but he still could face the issue of indictment once he's out of office.
Indictments, they are definitely indicting him in New York State.
But, of course, Mike Pence could pardon him, although not the New York part. I don't think he can do anything for him for the New York.
In a federal case. Not the state issues, and that's all state issues up there.
Oh, my gosh. He could end up in trouble and never get to Florida.
I wouldn't. Yeah, there's Professor Rob doing the happy dance.
You can't imagine how much I've wished that he would just leave office, but it would be shocking if he left because of health, which could be true or made up, one or the other.
Right, exactly. So.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
When, like we,
we'll see what happens next few days.
Before the show started. For our listeners, and I encourage you, go listen to our previous broadcasts, especially like even 3+ years ago, through my connections and things that I know. I know that we all made the statement that all three of our intelligence agencies, before he even walked into the White House, knew that they were listening to what they knew were foreign enemy agents. And all three of them were listening to them, and they have recordings now of listening to the enemy agents and then Trump calling in asking for seditious treasonous acts to start hacking computers and stuff to circumvent our democratic elections. He was committing treason and criminal acts before he even walked into the White House. Go listen to the previous broadcast of PRV Monsters, the Sunday show, and you'll hear us passing this information, accurate information, onto the listeners well over 3 years ago.
Yeah, I want to point out, to add to that, that, you know, when I first came on this show about 3 years ago, I remember saying that there was a report that the House of Representatives in 2016 was meeting, and that Kevin McCarthy, who's now the minority leader but was then the second ranking to Ryan, started to talk about some kind of Russian connection, and Paul Ryan, the speaker, said, shh, don't talk about that. So it makes you think that a lot of these Republican House members knew something was up even before the election.
Absolutely, because it was even on the news. It was when they had their Republican primary to anoint, and I'm using anoint here.
The convention,
Trump,
yeah.
And right, the convention.
And they changed the
in Columbus at the time. He was
and they changed the actual platform to be more pro-Russian than it had been because Trump asked for it. So the language is different in the platform of 2016 for the Republican Party for what it was supposed to be.
And the news that we got out there in Columbus, there were the local news stations, was there was a live mic, and they picked him up talking about it. Paul Ryan, the other congressman, what was his name again?
McCarthy, yeah.
McCarthy, yeah. Right. He said, I think Washington, Trump is committing treason and working with the Russians. Paul Ryan looked at him and says, you never said that and never repeat it again. It was basically in those words. So Paul Ryan knew, and the leaders of the Republicans up there in Cleveland knew Trump was working and committing treasonous acts against this country with the Russians, and they chose to do nothing about it. They squelched it.
And they're still squelching it now.
Exactly, right.
Yep. Like this Jim Jordan, who's from Marion, Ohio area, where I'm on the Adam Lepp Show on WWGH. He's a congressman. He's a monster. He's a real attack dog, and he's disgraceful. He really is. And he himself has issues about Ohio State University. He was an assistant wrestling coach in the 80s and 90s, I guess it was, and there was abuse of athletes then by the doctor there, and apparently he knew it, and he denies he knew it, but he's being investigated on that. So he himself has his own corruption.
Right. You know, basically the wrestlers of the college students were basically getting ass raped, and this guy chose to look the other way and not do anything about it.
And claims he knows nothing about it, but he's a liar. Convinced he's a liar.
Same thing with Papa Joe Paterno there in Penn State.
Yes, in Penn State. Thing, yeah.
It was going on about the same time.
Yep. Except that's football. In this case, it's wrestling with Ohio State. Yeah, but that's right. Ohio State's right where you were there. You know, as far as not then.
That's
that's where you lived for quite a while in Columbus. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
You're the Ohio expert.
I love Columbus. Trust me, folks. Columbus and Ohio, that is my second home. I love it.
Yes.
But, you know, there's definitely some dirty laundry with their Republican politics out there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I became very jaded, as I've said before. You know, my family history is since the time of Lincoln, have belonged to the Republican Party. I have rescinded that family Republican Party, and when I moved here to Annapolis, I registered as a Democrat. I will not have my name being associated with this current Republican Party.
And a lot of people are switching party registration.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
Yes.
Oh, what about the wonderful backing by all Republicans of the president? You know, these media spinners are really way off the mark. They don't make it clear that those people who voted for Trump, out of the whole slew who did, there's a huge amount of them that are not going to ever vote for him again, that are completely disgruntled and
shocked. Well,
really, because one never knows.
It
could also be fixed results. That's the other thing. There could be fixed results. Yeah. That, you know, that's the thing you never know for sure.
Well, that's the thing. They know that some of the not the little computers that you walk up to and cast your vote to in the polling place, but when they all download to the mainframe computer. You know, basically, if I can give you a scenario here, if I'm surfing kiddie porn and trying to solicit someone, the FBI is going to be showing up my house because each and every computer leaves its own kind of personal electronic fingerprint. They know these Russian computers have their fingerprints on the mainframe computers that all the little voting polling computers download and feed into. That's where they got hacked.
So that's why it could happen again, and we could have
exactly, exactly.
He
did Trump did not win. Trump did not win. He won the electoral votes, but he did not win the popular votes. And the truth is coming out because they're finding these electronic fingerprints of foreign computers hacking into these downloaded mainframes that they know the Russians were in there changing, flipping votes.
What a setup.
Everybody should vote from their own home computer or smartphone. I mean, that's a complete thumbprint. You know, they know we all have our own IP address, and we all have our own. Your phone can be completely traced. I mean,
yes, but criminals can also get into your computer and mess it up.
They can't change your IP though. They cannot change
your
IP.
Here's what I'm saying, Glenn. If you do that, then your anonymity of when you went behind the curtain and pulled that lever of who you voted for ended when you came out of that curtain. If
that's
you did
that,
they would know
each
and every person voted for, and you get another Trump in there, they're going to be coming, stormtroopers coming at your door.
Excuse me, but basically the computers that we feed our slips into over at the polls knows exactly who we are and who we're voting for, too. So, it's apples and oranges as far as I'm concerned. I think that we all should be able to vote on our own. And it just would make things a lot more. And mind you, I think within 10 years, that's what's going to happen. I really do. Mm-hmm. If we have decent governance going on,
right?
Because it's become quite an issue, and even amongst politicians, it's become quite an issue. There's something that we haven't discussed yet, and I was really happy news that so and so from Fort Lickerdale there went into court this week and got voted on 7 counts of indictment as guilty.
Stone,
Stone is guilty. And again, this, you know, when they holler witch hunt and stuff, this is all based on the evidence that Robert Mueller obtained and gathered that these convictions are going down and they're finding them all guilty. So it's not a witch hunt. It's not Democratic just this is the only way they can win and stuff like this. No, this is Mueller's investigation. This is the police work. He was the detective, and he's turned his evidence over basically to the prosecuting attorneys.
Basically, Mueller's investigation included the FBI and several branches of our government, including the intelligence resources of the government.
Again, I go back to
How many indictments and how many guilty verdicts? And these guys are still out there swinging their hot rocks, saying, you know, it's all a hoax. It's all a bunch of and for these guys to be sitting in Congress and putting up to Ambassador Yovanovitch that crazy, which she said, the conspiracy that had been debunked by our intelligence communities, because we know it came out of Russia, about the Ukraine and the Bidens and all of this. She said it was, you know, she had no idea this is why they were pushing her around, because absolutely the country had already, you know, had come up to the conclusion, the facts were, that this was, you know, nothing but Russia. And Russia deep-ended over to Julian Assange there to dump with emails.
He was the third
DNC person. Yeah, I still don't understand people who still will support Julian Assange. He's a narcissistic asshole that most of the people he worked with despise now, because he was a sellout. He was a complete sellout. And they understood that. If you want to see who Julian Assange is, take a look at him getting hauled out of the embassy, you know?
Right.
If people want to talk about who a hero to the country is, in my opinion, they should be talking about Edward Snowden, who actually did do a whistleblowing. He actually did put something out there that needed to be uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's hiding out in Moscow and doesn't like it a bit, you know. Everything's upside down. And if you think Snowden doesn't walk with wondering when he's going to get the poison pen darted into the back of his leg, you got to be nuts. And then you got this guy in Britain who is a buffoon, who's basically taking his cues from Trump's actions. And I don't know how the Brexit thing is coming up for another vote. Is that what it's boiling down to?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And the thing is, Gwen, just as we know, not only our intelligence agencies, but European intelligence agencies, countries across there, like through Germany and Deutsche Bank and stuff, they're seeing Russian money. They're finding and tracing the Russian money flowing from Moscow to Trump and Moscow to Boris Johnson. Putin is buying them both. He's having us both destroy our own countries with this right-wing narcissistic bastards, i.e. Brexit and our own teabaggers that got taken over by Trump. And it's all being played by Putin, the puppet master.
Well, it comes down to basically, you know, the GDP of Russia is this. It's resources and petroleum and natural gas and mafiosa.
Right.
It's nothing but a autocratic oligarchy there, and they've basically ripped the wealth of the country and the economy from the people to line their own pockets, and they've even their military is in. How do you think it's so easy for people over there in the military to ferret out weapons and sell them to the terrorist community and whoever else is looking for them on the back burner.
Here is another thing, talking about this. This is where Trump's, you know, we're going to fight China and we're going to go into a tariffs war. Well, fine. We destroyed all the business dealings that we've had with Trump, with China. There's bank farmers going bankrupt. It's been the worst crop. We have spent more now keeping the farmers in the Midwest afloat because of the tariffs that we did with the automobile bailouts back in the early 80s. We've spent more money just in that now. And I can tell you right now, in the meantime, though, Brazil, Argentina, Russia's signing on for wheat. Brazil and Argentina's got the soybean with China's. It's going to be a decade before our farmers and their market try to get any of that Chinese back. Not along with that, there's also too just overseas shipping. That's the farming industry in general. But there's also business in general. Good friend of mine, he's a regional FedEx sales manager for FedEx, and I saw an article. I asked him about it. He confirmed it. Today, FedEx's revenues are down by $3 billion, with a B, $3 billion, because of overseas shipping business. That is now business that, you know, the candlestick maker, the, you know, water pump, you know, whatever, right? All this stuff is not going to come back for a good while. It's going to take a decade because of this here. That's the kind of numbers we're really talking about. One company, $3 billion is down this year because of their loss of overseas shipping.
Well, you know,
you put a progressive into office who says, just like FDR did when World War II broke out, and he said, okay, give me your paper goods, your tie, your rubber, and your steel. And he puts the country into motion into creating green industry. You know, that's basically, that can do a lot to pull us out of a slump that we could go into.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's going to take the rest of our lives to have the country recover from Donald Trump. That's clear.
Yes, I have to agree.
This is severe economic damage. And that's what Putin wanted. Not only ourselves, but Britain, because who's fighting and keeping Ukraine?
We
have
the
Brits
capacity.
And the United States.
Well, but we have the capacity. America has the capacity to get up off its ass and rectify economically, especially with green industry, much better than Russia or even the UK. But the UK is not badly placed either. They're, especially if they get rid of this Brexit crap. I mean, most of Western Europe has gone almost totally green. I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware, but as far back as in the 90s, in Denmark, you couldn't. I was surprised at the quality of the groceries in the store, the freshness,
food markets in general is a. The slow food movement over in Europe is much better than our food we have here. Also, too, I just saw this week because I'm in this industry. I deal with the electrical infrastructure grid and designing and upgrading and things like that. Germany shut down their final coal-burning plants this past week. No coal is going to be burned in Germany to generate electricity.
It was very few.
They dwindled down. You don't just knee jerk this stuff. You have to taper it off, wean yourself off, and then what was left, they shut them all down. They were done. They had the other infrastructure to be able to make up for the difference.
It's stunning. I mean, Ron, how is this going to play into how do you see it playing into the presidential general?
Well, so far the stock market's still doing well. It's reaching an all-time high now.
But this is the longest recovery we've ever had
since the 2009. How long can it go on? It's got to eventually collapse.
Yeah, but the stock market has very little to do with how people are living everyday lives and communities across this country.
Correct statement.
But even unemployment's low, but a lot of people have a job and they can't support themselves on the job. They have to have two or three jobs. It's really 1% or maybe a couple percent really have most of the wealth, and it's getting worse. So I think we're going to have a collapse of the economy soon because Trump looks too good on the surface. But really, things are much worse, as you're saying, yes. And I wanted to point out that I just wrote this article on corruption levels of Democratic and Republican presidents since LBJ. And the fact is the record shows from Johnson through Carter and Clinton and Obama, Democrats have had a total of 3 executive branch officials indicted, 1 conviction and 1 prison sentence, 3-1-1. Yeah. While the Republicans under 6 presidents, that is, although 2 of them not really true, Ford and the first Bush, not much, but still they're part of the 6. But the other 4, meaning Nixon and Reagan and the second Bush and Trump, well, even with Trump, it's not even finished yet, they've had a total, get this, of 120 executive branch officials indicted compared to 3, 89 criminal convictions compared to 1, and 34 prison sentences compared to 1. Just look at those numbers. It's unbelievable how they've had so many. And Trump's going to probably break the record of Nixon on that regard.
That's incredible. You know, I posted this meme on my wall. You remember during the last 2016 election, there was this famous photograph of Obama and Hillary sitting and laughing real hard that people used as a meme.
Yeah.
The new one up is, if Trump wanted me locked up, he should have put me in his administration.
That's right. He should be in jail. He should have put me in this. But Gwen, I want to say, when we're talking about the stock market, here's what's really kind of happening. And I mentioned this to my stockbroker. with my retirement funds, because she said, you know, hey, look, you know, we're doing well here. The money's up. And I said, the problem is this big tax cut that's now got us into hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt as a nation. I said, these companies are taking that windfall flux of money, buying back their own stock, driving it up, because, you know, when you buy a stock and there's, you know, supply and demand, if there's very few to be spread about, the stock goes up. And when it gets up high, then that's when they will dump it off slowly and quietly until finally somebody catches on, and then it's going to go. This stock market is so high, it's fake. It's companies manipulating their own stock prices with their tax incentives that, you know, we got everybody got a big tax break bullshit. And that's
a tax break. Well, my students, about $500 we got, which means $10 a week, enough to go to McDonald's for one person.
There you go. Exactly. Right. And, you know, I also like to do this. If you go look, before that big tax cut came in, a bottle, you know, a plastic bottle of Coke cost you $1.69. As soon as those tax cuts went in, and now we're borrowing, you know, money to pay for our bills, our deficit is going up. All you've done is devalued the purchasing power of the money that you have in hand, particularly those with retirement incomes. That price now for that same bottle of Coke within that couple months after that big tax cut jumped up to $1.99. Just round it up. Let's say 30 cents for a $2 purchase, or 15% per dollar.
Exactly, yes. That's
if
horrible.
If somebody is on a retirement of $400, just a minimum $400 a week, and their Social Security and their retirement incomes, that means, that 15% means their weekly income had to increase by $60 just to keep in the static same purchasing level.
And it doesn't. Yeah.
And who got $60 extra a week after that tax cut because of the trickle-down theory? Nobody. So
nobody.
That's
You're
how
right.
much, that's how much your purchasing power of the dollars that you have was lost because of this big deficit, hundreds of trillions of dollars, because this nation's deficit has never, ever been this high. It took an exponential jump.
Yes,
we
Trump
are,
has actually had the biggest increase in the national debt in 1 year of anybody, $1 trillion, $940 billion,
go.
They're saying, yeah. And that's
yeah,
what they say.
It's
probably
with
more
a
than
T,
that.
With a T, trillions. Yes. Trillions.
Yeah.
So there's where you've been. Oh, he gave me a $40 a week tax cut. No, you lost $60 purchasing power every week of that $400 that you were trying to live off of. That's the
yep.
truth on your tax cut.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to point out that in my article about
it's
corruption, I say Bill Clinton,
man.
After all the investigations and publicity by Republicans in Congress, a total of 2 criminal indictments, 1 conviction and 1 prison sentence. Jimmy Carter had 1 indictment and no convictions and no prison sentences, while Barack Obama had 0 indictments, 0 convictions, and 0 prison sentences. The Democrats have not had the corruption on any level like the Republicans have had.
No.
Corporate
money. None at all.
That's the corporate stimulation of buying your government.
Yeah, but you see here, you've got one candidate who is being called the front runner, Biden, who's nothing but a corporate bag man. And that's where
he is. He is a bank
guy,
yes. Wilmington, Delaware is where most banks all move to.
He has been a
bag
man for corporations for years and years. I don't say he's a bad man. I say he is a bad politician, and he was he might be a nice fellow, but he is a bought and paid for politician, and he thinks that the compromises he makes are for the better of the community because he sees it run like the old machine, and that's what's got to break. That machine has got us to where we are. He's status quo, and anyone running in a centrist position that way, with compromises and getting things done with the idea that you're going to be able, you think that the EPA was put together by people who thought they could get it across the aisle? They didn't.
No, it was a lot of, you know, of lobbyists involved, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, the EP, the Jackson and Kennedy and Horton and all the guys who worked on the EPA, there were a couple of Republicans who worked on it. They basically told Nixon, you're gonna jack sign this one, or, you know, we're gonna out you for your, and audience, please excuse me, but this is the term, rat fucking. You're gonna get exposure. Well, the old Potomac two step, and that's how things have gone along. And I'm sure that when Barack Obama walked into the White House, he got a bunch of that thrown in his direction too. I don't think he stood for any of it, but he did his very best, I'm sure, to sidestep. But he saw the reality of politics as they were, and we can't abide it anymore.
Right.
It
comes down to Democrats. You know, they have their faults, but they are too nice in dealing with Republicans, and Republicans play hardball and they don't care what Democrats think. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, progressives don't play that way. At least they don't honor. You know what? One of Bernie Sanders' biggest problems, as who he is and the progressive ideas, he doesn't compromise. He's hard to get along with.
He's very hard to get along with, which is not necessarily a good thing. But then, of course,
no.
Trump's not easy to get along with either.
basically. What's going on right now is you've got a couple of real true progressives out there saying, you know, it's got to change. We've got to play hardball. We've got to do it no matter what. It's Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Who do you think is going to be able to get along with people easier in the long run on that one?
Warren, absolutely.
I really think so. And we have so much bridge building to repairing to do with our international allies.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
It isn't even funny. And we need somebody who's going to be able to talk without having a predetermined, especially where Israel's concerned, because, you know, the base of the Democratic Party has been very laissez-faire as far as Israel and its politics go. But people are outraged by Israel and the Likud party. They're absolutely outraged by it. And a lot of people voting are listening fast for, what are you going to do about that? Are we going to be sending military over there to murder people in an apartheid state? You know,
I agree with you, but I think Bibi is not going to be the prime minister. They're still in limbo right now. I think he's finally going to be out, and that'll be a good step.
Yeah, it will. It'll help. It'll help us along a whole lot if he is, because that means that a president can go in without any kind of repercussions politically with their base, if it's the right base.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes left. I just want to point out to you, it's 3 minutes left, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ron, will you please tell people where they can find your site and also
okay.
What books.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm on
buy.
Facebook under my name and under The Progressive Professor and also under my book title, Assassinations, Threats in the American Presidency. I'm on Twitter with Politis, PolitHist. I'm on theprogressiveprofessor.com, which I've written on every day, almost every day since 2008. And I'm on historynewsnetwork.org, and I have my own blog under my name, Ronald L. Fineman. And, of course, I'm also on WWGH in Ohio with Adam Lepp every Monday morning. So I keep out of trouble. And I also shouldn't do lectures.
Yeah. And it's a very good program up there in Marion. I can speak very highly of that, coming from the Columbus area and being on the show at one time myself. So Adam Lepp is a very good guy. So.
However, he and I really have some strong disagreements, but we managed to get along. So the thing is, you learn to negotiate with each other.
Well, I'm going to give you a general patent clue. If everybody's thinking alike, then somebody's not thinking. That was General Pat.
Right. Right.
And for these you can read some of my stories on Minds and Times of F. Lane Johnson. Blog.
I want to thank everybody for it. Ron, thanks for sitting in with us. I hope we can
enjoy it. Thank you again for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure with you, Professor. Absolutely. You and I go
always,
back quite a ways now.
And I want to, before we lose the air here, I want to make sure to say hello to Jack and to
absolutely,
sign off with
Jack.
His.
Get well.
I wish you the best.
With his words, and that is to keep pushing forward, folks. Don't give any ground. Just keep pushing forward.
Keep the faith. Keep going. Keep fighting.
That's our show this evening. Ron and Wayne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ron, thanks so much for stepping in. So appreciate
it. It was great to join you again.
Okay, so we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. with the Sunday show, Zapping Me Some Sunday. This is Here Be Monsters Radio Network. And we be done for the week. Stay safe out there.